You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We are now about 6 months away from the 2026 midterm election in the United States, in which all 435 seats in the House of Representatives will be up for grabs. This election has the potential to transform the political landscape in the states by overturning the Republican majority in the House and rendering Trump a sitting duck president for the remainder of his term. This morning, I spoke to Auckland University's Dr. Jennifer Frost about the so-called redistricting war in which multiple states vie to redraw their electoral boundaries ahead of the vote in November. In order to understand the importance of redistricting, we need to understand a little bit about how the American electoral system differs from our own. So firstly, the United States doesn't have proportional voting like we do, meaning that winning a majority of the 435 congressional districts is the only way to achieve a majority in the House of Representatives. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
What's also crucial to understand is that the job of redrawing district boundaries is left up to each state. That's different to most countries, including New Zealand, which have independent commissions responsible for drawing districts. This means that a state dominated by one of the two major parties can redraw district boundaries in a way that's advantageous to their party on the federal level. The process by which that happens is known as gerrymandering, and gerrymandering has a long and noble history in the United States, right?
Actually, I would say ignoble, but yes. The gerrymandering has always been done for partisan purposes to increase the power of the party already in power who is drawing those boundaries. So it's always been done with a partisan aim. What has happened since the early 19th century, and it was a practice inaugurated by Governor Gerry of Massachusetts, he initiated this practice of drawing these boundaries to benefit the party in power, in this case, his party, which was the Federalists. And I think what's interesting is the Federalists were on their way out as a political party. And so in a way, this practice, you could even think of it as a bit of a last gasp of a party that cannot get Democratic support. And so it's going to use these electioneering maneuvers to benefit themselves. And so Governor Gerry drew this map that ended up, they said, looking like a salamander. And so the term gerrymander came out of this. And it's the term we use to really talk about partisan drawing of these boundaries between election districts to benefit the party in power.
And just to go a little bit, hopefully not too deeply, but a little bit into the mathematics of this, the terms they use to describe this are packing and cracking.
Yeah, that's right. So either you're concentrating your opponent into just a few districts, right? That's the packing. Or you're diluting your opponent into a lot of different districts so they never can win. It just got really weaponized or, you know, kind of accelerated with computer-assisted districting and drawing these lines. And it's 2010 that really shows us the use of, you know, software to incredibly pack and crack opponents in these different districts. And so then you get these really lopsided votes, and Wisconsin is one of the really good examples of how this worked after 2010. So you'd have a statewide vote in which the Republicans, say, got barely 50% of the vote across the state, but because of the way in which they gerrymandered, they get 60% of the seats in the state legislature, right? So their number of seats is disproportionate to their proportion of the overall vote.
Right now, we're in the midst of what some people are calling a redistricting war. The first shots of this war were fired in Texas, where last year lawmakers approved a new congressional map, which looks like it will transfer 5 seats from the Democrats to the Republicans. California's government shot back with the Election Rigging Response Act, redrawing the state's congressional map to gain 5 seats currently held by Republicans. So the idea there is that they're suspending this independent commission and redrawing the districts themselves, intentionally gerrymandering it in favor of the Democrats. So what I want to know is, from your point of view, what are the important differences between the intentional gerrymandering carried out by the Republicans in Texas and the response from the Democrats in California? Is one more morally justified than the other, in your view?
I would have to say, again, it's your process by which it's done, you know, I think gives you a better, a better take on this. You know, first of all, California and then now Virginia, because last week Virginia just did the same thing. And what we've seen in these Democratic-dominated states is it is a response. And it was Trump's call last year to his Republican states, his red states, saying, find me more members of Congress, right? And Texas responded immediately. And so California then responded to Texas, and Virginia now has responded. But a few things, you know, the Democratic states, it is a response to Trump's call and to the action of the red states. Secondly, in states like Virginia and California who have these bipartisan independent commissions, they have to have the people vote to suspend using that commission and to approve these maps. And in both cases, in California and in Virginia, it's they expire in 2030. So when we get a new census, they can redraw the lines appropriately. And we need to remember that this was all initiated by Trump. And what is most kind of egregious is that he called for this gerrymandering mid-cycle, right? This, we're in 2025, 2026. This is not a census year.
So it's important to make clear that in California and Virginia, they actually had a referendum in each of those states, and
that's
the
right.
Majority of voters agreed to this gerrymandering, which, as you say, is a temporary gerrymandering to respond to the Republican gerrymandering, which is kind of unprecedented in the middle of a decade. They call it mid-decade redistricting, because normally it would happen every 10 years with the census.
That's right. That's right. And everybody's surprised, right? Because usually the Democrats, you know, do stick to the moral high ground. And we know that partisan gerrymandering is bad, right? But I think it's just the realization that the, you know, Republicans aren't playing by the rules. And so, you know, they keep using this analogy, you know, you don't bring a knife to a gunfight, right? And so Democrats have been saying we've got to up our game here and really compete as strongly as we can.
Do you want to comment about the California governor, Gavin Newsom? Because this kind of fighting back at the Republicans by doing his own gerrymandering, this is an example of a strategy that he's deployed before, right? In terms of using the Republicans' own tools against them.
That's right. And also, of course, along the way, what Gavin Newsom's trying to do, and I think, you know, other governors too, Governor Pritzker of Illinois has been really good at this, is it's also calling out the hypocrisy of, you know, here we've got these Republican, you know, folks criticizing what just happened in Virginia. But of course, what they did in Texas, and now actually the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, has put forward maps in Florida. Those just go through the red-dominated state legislature, so they don't go before the people. So in that case, they are less democratic a process than what the Democrats have been doing. But also in polling, one of the ways in which the Democrats aren't doing well, and you look at, you know, people's opinions of the Democrats, a lot of it is that they see the Democrats as weak, as not strong, as not fighting. And so I think we have these, you know, kind of younger politicians, you know, in the nation saying, and, you know, we've got to fight back and we need to demonstrate to voters that we will fight in their interests.
Does there seem to be a way out of this situation, or are we likely to see a future in which the parties currently in power in each state become so deeply entrenched that they're effectively impossible to remove?
Well, under Joe Biden, I think in 2022, there was legislation before Congress to remove partisan gerrymandering and have a federal law that says everybody has to have these bipartisan independent commissions. So yes, I mean, these problems are all fixable with some good electoral law that is passed and enforced. And interesting, if you look at polling, something like 75% of Americans, and this includes, you know, everybody, Republican, independents, Democrats, don't like partisan gerrymandering. They see it as unfair. And so I think it would be a popular move. And unfortunately, Republicans in Congress have never supported this. And so maybe with all these, you know, what we're seeing with these different kind of redistricting wars, you know, maybe we'll see a growing consensus among the Republican Party to move away from this. And the thing is, this extreme gerrymandering contributes to our polarization along party lines in the U.S. because you get these districts where the candidate doesn't need to appeal to voters of the other party. They don't need to moderate their views. They don't need to compromise. They don't need to negotiate. In fact, that's probably going to hurt them. And so you can look at the root of so many of our problems right here in gerrymandering. If that gets fixed, you kind of open up the electoral system to real debate and compromise and negotiation, and, you know, potentially we do get a way forward.
Would it be accurate to say that this kind of electoral reform is more difficult to get done in the United States? I mean, New Zealand adopted MMP back in 1996, but it's kind of inconceivable that the United States would do something as radical as that. I mean, in the U.S., they still pretty much use the electoral system that was designed in the 18th century.
Yes, I think part of the problem is the system in the U.S. is so undemocratic, right? It's who is represented in Congress is just, it's such an undemocratic body, both the House of Representatives and the Senate.
Well, the Senate even more, because it doesn't even
correct.
Pretend to be proportional.
Well, exactly.
Each state has two senators, regardless of the population.
That's right. That's right. So, like, I think it's Wyoming and the Dakotas have six. California has two. And, you know, the population of those three states is like the city of San Francisco or something. You know, it's like, you know, so disproportionate. But I think that, so we have to remember, we're not seeing the will of the people through Congress. That's the biggest problem. And, you know, this is just one example where Americans actually agree. They don't want partisan gerrymandering, but the will of the people is not being expressed, you know, in Washington, D.C.
That was Dr. Jennifer Frost, an expert in American political history at the University of Auckland.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.